SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Thursday, race fans, as I start to talk and see that the mic's not on. And then I, yeah, that's a rough start. Good morning. The Thursday ahead of a huge race weekend, and we're still actually digesting last weekend. And looking ahead at the same time, and also with an eye on some international events. And the ARC field, which was firmed up today, and although the ARC to Breeders' Cup turf has been a typically unfruitful, in fact, famously so, we'll still keep an eye on what's going on there. And that includes the attempt by last year's winner, Enable, to repeat. And Enable will face 18, including a host of Coolmore players. I think, what, five Coolmore? I think four or five Coolmore players and the usual assortment. Andre Favre with the three major players. And I suppose people are looking at Enable as being a little vulnerable just because she missed a good swath of the middle part of the year. And, you know, the tightener, the prep for Sunday, yeah, it was good. It was okay. Enable drew the six for the ARC, and if you're looking at odds right now, looking at Odds Checker, she's even money. See a class second choice, 7-2-ish, and then Waldgeist, Kew Gardens, and then up into the little bit of the stratosphere, including Talismanic and Cloth of Stars. This on Odds Checker. I'll send the link so you can track it. Probably you'll reach out to Nick Luck for tomorrow and get Nick in here to give us his thoughts and also set up the action a week from Saturday, the 20th, at Ascot, the Champions Day, which has become a staple on the calendar. It'll be the target for Cracksman. And the decision was made and came out that it'll bypass the ARC because of the expected firm ground and focus only on a career finale in the Champion Stakes. So Cracksman, who, you know, there had been some speculation that maybe he would do a double and come to Breeders' Cup, seems to have gone by the wayside. Yeah, so the international portion, and you know, be sure to go through the various resources, the Racing Post, obviously outstanding, and Racing UK, their website with a lot of news. And in fact, happened to catch a little tidbit on the juvenile side. That might be the best place to keep tabs on the Euros that are coming for the juvenile races. And there, it's important, too, because there's so many of them. You lose track a little bit. And the one that caught my eye, just, in fact, it's funny, because by name alone, I was just intrigued, the Mackham Bullet, who ran second to Fairyland. And just trying to gather, this is the time you need to do it. Don't wait until Breeders' Cup week. Get out ahead of it and make sure you're familiar. As we've said over the years, when there were seven races, and I'm adding in the Filly and Mare Turf, when this event, you know, was very concentrated, you literally knew every single horse. I say this every year. And, you know, the growth, the burgeoning of the Breeders' Cup, the biggest challenge is being familiar, at least having an idea about the, you know, the far-flung horses that you just don't have any clue who they are and what they are. It literally, those early days, the first half of the first portion of the Breeders' Cup before they started, I guess it was really at Monmouth, was the year that things started to expand, and it got hard. So get out ahead of it and keep tabs on what's going on elsewhere. That includes Canada and the Mazarine. In fact, I only got to the field for the Mazarine minutes ago. Wanted to print it out, but the two-year-old fillies, mile and a 16th on Saturday, that's obviously a little extraneous to the mammoth day at Keeneland and at Belmont, and a little bit smaller at Santa Anita. But if you haven't gotten out in front of it, well, we're going to do a Stats Racelens webinar tonight. Craig Walker, LP3, and myself, the three of us, 6 o'clock, and go over there to the stats site and register, and we'll look at three races from Keeneland, three races from Belmont. And if you haven't had a chance yet, give you a quick glance ahead. We'll start in New York, where the Champagne is really fun. Group of 10, and Call Paul, certainly. Jason Service, Michael Dubb, a horse you've heard talked about here, Gary Young picked out, and you heard Jason talk about him last week. Complexity for Seth Klarman, Chad Brown, Jose Ortiz. Code of Honor for Mr. Farish and Shug, and more. Our friend Lee Einsiedler with Casa Creed on the outside. Not a bad draw at all. Bill Mott, Kieran McLaughlin with Endorsed, and more. This is a Trophy Chaser as well. You've got Junior Alvarado aboard for Juana Villa. There's some murmurs about Trophy Chaser. The Hill Prince for the three-year-olds on the grass, going the mile in the eighth. Nice group of eight, led by Raging Bull. Golden Brown in here. Pat McBurney has had a great season. Ride a Comet, Mark Cassie for Len Riggio. Fun field. But the Beldame, it's funny because with the late missing, there was some curiosity as what kind of field the Beldame would get, and it's a bit of a hodgepodge. Farrell, who is running here the one turn mile in the eighth, but there's plenty of speculation that she could also cut back for the Filly and Mare Sprint. Wowcat, the Chilean filly, have been kind of waiting for her to break through. Kind of fell in love with her at Saratoga. Chad Brown, Peter Brandt, Vervesdale, Barkley Tag, and Mr. Fipke. Talked yesterday with Sid. Divine Miss Gray, who Danny Gargan's done a great job with and has really picked spots well. She gets a huge opportunity in here to race a Z. Anthony Margada Jr. for Vinny Viola. Dream Call. Steve Asmussen, Mike Rutherford. They had a nice, Rutherford and Asmussen had a nice maiden winner at Churchill Saturday. The turf sprint, all the usual suspects, specifically Jason Service and Christophe Clement, but Todd Pletcher sneaking in here, blind ambition, and Jadeau as well. You got the two Generazios from Christophe. And Pocket Change, who you heard Jason Service is very, very excited about the prospects there. So that's the Saturday action. There'll be plenty more for Sunday by the time we do weekend preview tomorrow. The Fall Stars weekend, well, things open up at Keeneland tomorrow. We talked about the Alcibiades and the Phoenix. I did some handicapping. The Phoenix, promises fulfilled. Whitmore and Limousine Liberal, but the other three are okay. Distinctive B, Hartwood, and Talmore turning back. That's a very tricky group. The Saturday card is spectacular at Keeneland, if you haven't had a chance. The Woodford turf sprinting, field of 12, all the big names that expected. The TCA came up nice, 10 filly and mare sprinters, but it's the First Lady that is, and the Shadwell that are just spectacular, and the Futurity, Breeders' Futurity. Chad Brown sent Standard Deviation, who drew outside. Mind Control, the Greg Sacco Brunetti, 2-year-old, the hopeful winner. Mr. Ankeny coming out of a big win at Ellis for the Albaz and Dale Romans. He also has got Moonster, Dale does, for Calumet. Tobacco Road for Asmussen, as well as Unionizer, Bill Mott. Goes this direction. Sombaye, Pletcher, Starlight. This is a big, fun, bulky field. Should be very entertaining. 14 in the Futurity, and the Shadwell came up unbelievable. Unbelievable. Divisadero, Heart to Heart, Synchrony, Kurban, Kieran McLaughlin. Analyze it. This may be what he really wants to do. Voodoo Song. Forget it. It's crazy. Almanar. Misunderstood. Brad Cox. Big Score. Invades for Yak Teen. Holy cow. It is unbelievable. Great field of 14. The Phillies and Mares as well. Chad Brown sent 3. Off Limits. Raving Beauty. And Kedura, but Valadorna, Donna Bruja, La Sardin for Neil Drysdale. Very, very good. Just tremendous. Let's take a quick break here. Tons to do today. I'll tell you about it after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent DeSarmo and Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I like digging holes and hiding things inside them. When I grow old, I hope I won't forget to find them. Cause I've got memories and travel like gypsies in the night. I build a home and wait for someone to tear it down. Then pack it up in boxes, head for the next town. Cause I've got memories and travel like gypsies in the night. I've got no roots, but my home was never on the ground. I've got no roots, but my home was never on the ground. I've got no roots. I've got no roots.
We're back at the races. About 15 plus in. A couple of notes and kind of a setting up the day. We've got a visit later, and I was surprised, actually. Christina Olivares-Blacker will join us, and ostensibly wanted Christina to come on. She's not involved in tonight's Stats Race Lens webinar. It's LP3 and myself and Craig Walker, but she has been, and she's, you know, been in the rotation for the preview days, so we're going to use a little Stats Race Lens, and I want to get some thoughts from her on the opening week of Santa Anita, get some thoughts on what she thought of the weekend, and she remarked this morning that it's her first time on the show, and I'm that stunned me, because I've had conversations with her, but then it did occur to me that it might have been in a couple of night school visits. So, technically, officially, maiden breaker today for Christina, hour three. So we'll talk to Christina, and we are going to get a look ahead from her to Saturday at Santa Anita, because husband Dan Blacker is sending out Double Touch in the City of Hope with Alonzo Quinones. So we'll see what she thinks of what kind of breakfast table talk there's been. Although I imagine with the babies and with the early mornings, I don't know how many opportunities they get as a family to sit around the breakfast table, maybe the dinner table. So we'll talk to Christina. Looking forward to it. And then tonight again, 6 o'clock. And I sent out the link this morning. We'll sign up and join us, and if you can't join it live, the replay goes up by about 9 o'clock, 9:30 usually in the evening, that you can listen to it and watch, because there is the demonstration. Craig will be handling the page the visuals, as it were. We'll talk to Steve Askin, get Steve's, particularly the impressions I want from Steve on the Classic Division, and see what he thought of Game Winner. Two-year-olds, usually the glamour divisions that we talk about. Tony Black, hour two, and you know, I didn't lay out the full details of Tony's exploits the other day, but Tony, with that 5,210th victory, he didn't, and I can't believe on Thursday last week that he didn't tip his hand that he was riding and had a win shot. You know, he's been sneaking them in here every so often. But Bill Finley wrote a wonderful piece in TDN on Tuesday, and I'll send that link out on Twitter too. But I'm sure a lot of you saw it, and really nice. And the outpouring every time Tony does this, he's there's no stopping him, and he is not. He is not going to say that he's retired, but pull up the Black in the Saddle story on TDN. I'll send the link out. Just amazing. Now Tony says he wants to win at age 70. That's his new, that's his latest goal, his latest target. We'll talk to Rich Eng, and we've been remiss the last 2 weeks, so we got to catch up with Rich today. And there is some notable Vegas news, and I was going to use this as a segue a little bit into this weekend's Breeders' Cup future wagers, and the future wager, the future wager opportunity this weekend for the Turf and the Classic. And you know, going back to the end of August, that last weekend in August when they had the first round, that was Distaff and Classic Future Wager. Then they came back with the Juvenile and Classic. Now the Classic and Turf. Looking now, and it's only, you know, from August, whatever, 28th, 27th, from that weekend. So it's only 6 weeks later, right? Not even. No, 6 weeks. There's certain numbers here that kind of jump off the page. How about Thunder Snow? What's Thunder Snow going to be if the Classic was Saturday? And knowing what we saw, you know, coming out of the Jockey Club Gold Cup. Thunder Snow, 23-1 in that first round. Mind Your Biscuits was 40-1 that weekend, coming out of the end of the summer. I thought this was interesting. Then there's some horses that took money and are not going to be there. Most notably, Good Magic, who was 13-1. Accelerate 3-1 coming out of it. Diversify 10-1 that first weekend. Mendelssohn 11-1. And that feels like the same. That number feels okay. Or about, you know, where you might be. But the value clearly was Thunder Snow. West Coast was 12-1. Here's one. Toast of New York, 99-1. There's a couple of people who are holding Toast of New York future wagers that would pay $423 to win. And I mean, his performance coming out of behind your biscuits was not terrible. I mean, acknowledge that Mind Your Biscuits, a 108 buyer, so 100 or so buyer for Toast of New York. as I said the other day, I don't think I can go back to that well, but that was not terrible. So anyway, you've got the future wager opportunity this weekend. And those on the docket, Accelerate, 3-1. Axelrod, who, by the way, Axelrod, Phoenix Thoroughbreds, bought in. You know, we talked to Michael McCarthy on Tuesday, and then Wednesday news came that Slam Dunk had taken on and sold controlling interest of Axelrod to Phoenix. And Slam Dunk stays in, and the horse stays with Michael McCarthy. But Axelrod will wear the Phoenix jacket in the Classic. He's 20-1. Bravazo in here. Catholic Boy, certainly 10-1. Collected, 30-1. Discreet Lover gets on this list now, 20-1. Diversify, haven't heard from the Violette camp. Gunavera on the list. Lone Sailor jumps on, 50-1. McKinsey, of course, off of his Pennsylvania Derby win. Mendelssohn, Mind Your Biscuits. Pavel, Roaring Lion, Seeking the Soul. And Dallas Stewart kind of walking the line. He's not committing one way or the other for a while. Thunder Snow, 10-1. Toast of New York, 30-1. West Coast, 8-1. Yoshida, 15-1. And all others, 20-1. So there's your future wager for the Classic. Then they are also offering the Turf future. Smaller group, Arklow, Carrick, Channel Maker, Crystal Ocean, Sir Michael, Enable, John Gosden for Judmont, even money. And she's not by any, you know, one of the risks you're running here is that you don't know, you know, you're speculating that, and some of these will come over. None of them are 100% committed. Glorious Empire, who, of course, is preparing since the tremendous summer that he had. The 7-year-old, Chucky Lawrence and Matt Shira. 10-1, Glorious Empire. La Extrana Dama, the Argentinian, coming out of the Dr. Enrique Cup at San Ysidro. Now, that was a win in your in thing, and that's a catcher in the rye mare. Leem the Charmer off the win at John Henry. Quarteto de Cordes, the Brazilian. Roaring Lion. Gosden, I sent the link out for everybody, that conversation clarifying where he stands. Robert Bruce, Sadler's Joy, Talismanic, and then all others. Field of 14 for your Breeders' Cup Turf future wager this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Always intriguing to watch the futures. And on that topic, we'll bring it up with Rich Eng, speaking of futures, Vegas, and the news this week that Johnny Avello was leaving Wynn to join DraftKings, and he's going to be part of their risk management program and helping them with the sports betting. And you know, some people were aghast at this. Johnny Avello had been planning to leave Wynn. I mean, a year ago, there, you know, he's 65, and he had talked about retiring or, you know, moving on to something else. That was not a mammoth upset or shock that he left. That had been rumored for an extended period. But the news that horse players noted was that Wynn said that they would not go on with their future wager options, their Derby options, the ones that, you know, obviously they've already made some future wagers. People have already bet some Derby futures, undoubtedly. And there was no direct addressing of that. I'm sure they'd honor them. Or provide a refund. I mean, well, those are the only two options. But we'll talk to Rich about it. And John Avello, as respected and, I mean, frankly, beloved by players for years, since, I mean, not just in his days at Wynn. So that was news that made the rounds this week as well. And we'll talk to Rich about it. So Black and Haskin and Oliveris Blacker. I see it both ways. Sometimes you still see Christina referred to as Oliveris, and other times as Oliveris Blacker, and then also as Blacker. So Christina. That's the easiest way to identify her, right? And Rich Eng. And more. We're going to talk to Jen Reutz in this hour. The opening today of the Retired Racehorse Project, the Thoroughbred Makeover, takes over the horse park. And, of course, Stuart Pittman's incredibly successful concept that is burgeoned in a million different directions throughout the second career marketplace, and that's really what Stuart created with the Retired Racehorse Project, a marketplace. I mean, enhancing the value of horses off the racetrack by creating a competition in these varied disciplines in which the retirees compete, and basically rewarding people. You know, it's not a lot of money. But actually, when you add it all up from all the disciplines, it is. I mean, it cumulatively, it's a lot. But it's more an honor and a kind of a stipend. And the success of this concept is really remarkable. Meanwhile, we'll talk to Jen. A reminder here with the election coming soon. Those of you in Anne Arundel should be 100% behind Stuart Pittman. We had Stuart midsummer when his campaign was in full flight and things had firmed up. Can't be more supportive of Stuart Pittman for Anne Arundel County Executive. And you know, they had functions for him at Laurel. And he is the right choice by every measurement. And what he has done and the lasting impact that he's having in the thoroughbred retirement end of things, really tangible. But just a good person and a candidate that is completely deserving of your support in that region. We can head to the break, and as we do, I want to, and I'll bring this up, we may get Seth. You know, we couldn't get to Seth. We couldn't find him yesterday. But if we get to Seth Merrow, even if we don't, tonight in this area, up here on Channel 10 in Albany, on the 6 o'clock newscast, they're going to run a feature that they put together that goes back to the summer and to Saratoga. Michael Garrity, the wonderful equine artist, who's also heavily involved in the Clear Stars stable. In fact, they had a winner yesterday with Rich Schossberg. Was that the Nightcap? It was one of the maiden races. I think it was the sixth, because Gary ran second to Ruby's in Time. Michael Garrity and Mary Chamberlain. The wonderful story that got some attention during the summer, and Mike Smith's friendship with Mary, who is nonverbal, suffers from cerebral palsy, and Michael is also, Michael Garrity, helped facilitate her meeting Mike Smith, and it's just a moving and beautiful story. Be sure to watch. The Channel 10's been laying out really a lot of previews of it too. So if you can, and I'm sure, ideally they'll put it up on YouTube. Maybe I'm sure, you know, it's probably, you know, 3 to 4 minute feature. Really nice, and there's a horse involved. The people that Clear Stars, Mike Garrity and partners, they let Mary in on a horse and let her name it, and she's Mary's girl. It's a sweet story. It's one of the things that racing does best. Let's take a break. Come right back.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent the Summer on Afternoon Delights, absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky, or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, coming up on 20 to the top of the hour. Tony Black at 10. Note from yesterday, Lane's End on an absolute buying spree, a stallion spree. How about the addition of West Coast, and I mentioned this yesterday in passing, but then it occurred to me later in the day, in the last, what, the 2-3 weeks or month or whatever it's been, West Coast, by Flatter, Accelerate, by Looking at Lucky, and City of Light, by Quality of Road. So a troika, I like saying troika, of stallions added to the roster at Lane's End. There you go. All right. Well, the roster of off-the-track thoroughbreds that'll be competing between now and Sunday at the horse park and in the thoroughbred makeover, the Retired Racehorse Project. We check in with Jen Reutz, who's got a busy day ahead as things get started. Jen, it looks like there's like a frenzy looking forward to the makeover.
Yeah, thanks for having us on. Yeah, we've got over 500 horses here on the Kentucky Horse Park grounds, all either competing right now or getting ready to compete. We've got the preliminary competition going on today and tomorrow, and then the finals on Saturday.
500 horses, and run down or give a thumbnail sketch of the different disciplines that comprise the competition.
Yeah, we've got 10 different disciplines that these horses can compete in. Riders can choose to compete in one or up to two disciplines, and it's everything from hunters and jumpers and eventing and dressage, which are more traditionally thought of off-track thoroughbred vocations. And then we've got polo, which is in the preliminary competition right now, competitive trail. We just had barrel racing, freestyle, which is anything that is not in the other nine disciplines, ranch work. It's a really neat mix of just kind of anything you could do with a horse after it's done racing.
You mentioned polo. Last year's overall winner came from the polo division.
He did. Yeah, he was trained by a 17-year-old who he and his twin brother play polo, and they get a lot of their horses off of the track. And so it was a little filly who didn't make it as a racehorse, and she was a West Virginia bred, and her owner wanted her to have a good second career, so gave it to these twins along with another horse to retrain as polo ponies. And, you know, it's just funny how a horse can be so wrong for one sport and so right for another. You know, she was kind of late to mature. She wasn't that big, but at the same time, she was a great polo prospect. And so he not only won the thoroughbred makeover with her in his division, which padded his college account with thousands of dollars, but then he ended up selling that horse for, I think it was 35 or 40 grand after the competition. So that's not too bad for 8 months worth of training.
Well, and you really bring up the germane point, whether it's a horse, and there's certainly horses that succeeded on the racetrack that then move into this kind of an arena and into second careers. But, you know, we had a little filly named Miss Mayflower, and she was small. She had burst of speed, and she was fearless. She had one little nick and knack injury after another. And sure enough, when we gave up, I said to Chuck, I said, you know, down there, being down by Wellington, I said, what about polo? And he said, you know, maybe. And he sure enough showed her to some polo people. They grabbed her, and she's been absolutely perfect because she was scared of nothing. She couldn't run long distance at all, but she was fast in bursts. Well, how many more qualities can a polo pony have?
I know. It's so neat to just kind of see which qualities and which bloodlines and which horses are kind of predisposed to having certain sets of skills for, you know, different disciplines. And there's so many people this year that we're seeing, more than any other year that I've seen, who are coming to the Thoroughbred Makeover, specifically to horse shop. And they're savvy horse shoppers, just like you see at the Thoroughbred sales. You know, they know what bloodlines they like. They know what body type they like. And we've got a sale horse arena where any horse that is for sale can be showcased and test ridden and have pre-purchase exams done and whatnot. And we've got a big sale horse catalog so people can kind of look through all of the available horses. But we keep getting riders telling us that people are here shopping in droves for horses, and there's everything from, you know, internationally competitive riders who are looking for three or four mounts for their students that are moving up the levels and need some good prospects, to, you know, a family with a kid who wants to move up from ponies to larger horses, and they're looking for a thoroughbred at the makeover. So, you know, before the competition even started, a friend of mine who had a horse for sale said someone saw her warming her horse up and started talking with her, and within 24 hours the horse was sold for just under $15,000. And that's a horse that, you know, she got for a very little amount off of the track. So it's really neat to see how much value these horses are starting to get after their racing careers are over.
The growth of the project and of the makeover and of the competition is one of the best success stories in the retirement arena, Jen, and in heralding your visit, you know, I talked about Stuart Pittman and, you know, where this started and the modest origins, and then just how explosive the growth has been, and how, you know, the rubber met the road, and this just really took off. And there's year round. I mean, this is not just the you know, a competition that is a short burst. It is a year round project that people have to get out in front of. They have to identify their intention, and they have to basically almost qualify. Not almost. They have to win their way in to the makeover. I mean, talk about, so, you know, people that are hearing about it for the first time, what they have to do to get involved, because there's a window of opportunity in terms of the horses that come off the track and how recently retired they need to be. Give people an idea of what they have to do to get involved.
So all of the horses competing in the makeover can only have had 8 months of training since their last race or public work. So it's definitely not an end goal for people, but it's a nice end of the first year goal, if you think about it that way. So these aren't finished show horses, but they're showing the transition that can be made in that short amount of time. And then they go on to compete in open shows or in the Thoroughbred Incentive Program shows, or, you know, take two shows. There's so many different shows. They're either Thoroughbred-specific or classes at bigger open shows that are Thoroughbred-specific, or just open shows in general, and the Hunter Jumper and the Fenting and different discipline worlds. So for riders who want to compete in the Thoroughbred Makeover, we have a list of criteria on our website, but in a nutshell, the horses can have up to little over a year since their last race, and that is in case a horse incurred an injury that gives the proper downtime and rehabilitation time. That way they're not rushing the horse to compete. But their formal second career training can't start until December 1st of the year prior to the makeover. And then they have 8 months from December 1st until the first weekend in October to retrain that horse for whatever discipline. And so then for the riders who want to apply for the makeover, it's the riders who are accepted into the makeover, not the horses, which means if someone wants to retrain a horse for our competition, they have to submit an application. And a lot of times they'll have to submit a video or other criteria to demonstrate the caliber of rider they are and that they have a background retraining off-track thoroughbreds. And we take that pretty seriously. You know, we want to make sure that they are the right person to be giving an off-track thoroughbred the right foundation. And so it can be an amateur rider who's maybe training under their trainer at home, or it can be a professional rider. We've had Olympians compete in makeover and, you know, winners of the Rolex Kentucky three-day event. So, you know, it's kind of like a bring-all-comers kind of thing, but they're all on that level playing field because they've all only had those 8 months to start their horse. So after everyone has applied to become a trainer in the makeover, we select the riders that will compete, and then we make that announcement, and the riders have, you know, as much time as they want to find their horses for the makeover. Some of them that have competed in years past already have their horse for next year, and they just have them turned out or her turned out and they're just waiting for that December 1st deadline to start working with them. Others might not even get their makeover horse until, you know, midway through next year. A lot of the horses competing this year were still racing this past spring and even into the summer in some cases.
All of the details at tbmakeover.org, and have literally seen this grow from like a 3 or 4 page website, Jen, into just this remarkable project. There's so many people that have contributed, and give everybody an idea of the industry support and the outside support that has made it possible, because the money seems to double every year, and that's a testimony to the interest level and the commitment of our industry to making sure that there's options, because so many thoroughbreds are just anxious to do something. They don't. There's only a few that are happy being a lawn ornament. Most of them like a job.
Exactly. Yeah. This every year. Last year our entries were up, gosh, just under 30%. This year they were up just under 40%. So it's definitely got the snowball effect going on. And the Retired Racehorse Project that puts on the Thoroughbred Makeover and puts on events to market the ability and appeal of off-track thoroughbreds all over the country is a nonprofit organization. You know, so we rely on donations from the thoroughbred industry and the sport horse industry and private entities and grants and whatnot. And that's our make or break. And so it allows us to put out a quarterly magazine, four times a year. It's kind of like the Blood Horse, but for the off-track thoroughbred world. And that really helps to drive a lot of interest and excitement in off-track thoroughbreds. And then we do a lot of seminars and educational demos and things like that just to promote off-track thoroughbreds anywhere there's a massive gathering of equestrians. And so the support from the industry is what's enabled us to make that happen. You know, this year at the Keeneland September sale, a lot of the consigners got together and created this program spearheaded by the team at Select Sales, where a portion of every horse sold by, I think now, 15 consigners will go to support the Thoroughbred Makeover and off-track thoroughbreds to the Retired Racehorse Project. And we have, you know, everyone from the Thoroughbred Charities of America, who's our title sponsor, to Churchill Downs and the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association, Louisiana, Maryland, New York, California Thoroughbred Associations. There's a lot of entities and individuals in the thoroughbred industry that are making the difference in us not only being able to expand the Thoroughbred Makeover every year, but create smaller events like the Makeover in different pockets around the country to try to gain more support for off-track thoroughbreds and convince more equestrians to consider a thoroughbred for the next mount. So basically, from a business standpoint, we are trying to expand the secondary market for off-track or for thoroughbreds so that when they're finished in the primary market, they have a lot of demand to be offloaded into the secondary market. And they get better homes, a better foundation of training, which gives them longevity and safety through the rest of their lives. So it's definitely a mechanism that is working in a big way and has legs. So it's all thanks to the thoroughbred industry and the sport horse industry as well for kind of coming together to support this mission.
Well, I saw, Monday or Tuesday, the Breeders' Cup signed on with you as a partner, and there's actually opportunities available in terms of sponsorship. There's the vendor marketplace that you get at virtually every equine sport gathering, whether it's at a, for instance, like when we go to Far Hills, there's always the vendors there, and when you go to Rolex, or, well, not Rolex anymore, can't say Rolex.
The Land Rover. True,
the Land Rover, thank you. When you go to the four-star, et cetera. So there's so many ways to be involved and to take advantage of these opportunities, and you can also watch. You're streaming, right, this week?
Yep, we have live streaming on Saturday, both through the Blood Horse and through our live stream sponsor, the U.S. Equestrian Federation. And I will say, when you were talking about the vendor area and ways to get involved, the one thing that I've noticed since taking on the role of executive director with the RRP is that there's a lot of people interested in thoroughbred racing who are in the equestrian world that want that entrance into thoroughbred racing but don't necessarily know how to get it. And they're already passionate about thoroughbreds, and they're already race fans. They're just not maybe as savvy of a race fan as they could be. So, you know, we constantly get people asking about, you know, how they might buy into a fractional partnership, or what does pinhooking mean, or how can they, you know, get involved in the racing side, because for them it would be tremendously cool to not only be involved as an owner, but then have a horse in the makeover that they were involved with on the track. We have a couple of those this year, and I just hear them getting asked constantly, how do I get involved in ownership? How do I, you know, get more involved in the racing side? So I think that's a market that is very underutilized for the thoroughbred industry. It's really neat to see so much enthusiasm from a young non-racing audience about racing.
Well, again, I want to invite people to the website, which is just exhaustive, tbmakeover.org. Everything you need to know. If you were unfamiliar, I think our audience is familiar, because we've been, you know, talking about what a wonderful initiative this is and was from the absolute origins. And Jen, of course, with each of these conversations, I'm also pushing the endorsement of Stuart as Anne Arundel County executive. So
yes.
those of you back in the county, you know what you got to do in a few weeks. But for all the volunteers, I know you rely on just dozens, hundreds of volunteers.
Yeah.
It should be just a fabulous 4 days. Weather looks cooperative, yes?
Yes. So far, so good. It's, you know, 75, 80 degrees and no rain. So knock on wood, it stays that way.
Well, if you're going to be in and around Lexington this weekend and you weren't aware, you can go to the horse park and enjoy the makeover live in front of you. If you can't, you can watch online. And Jen, as always, appreciative of the visit, appreciative of the commitment of all of the people that get involved and take a horse off the racetrack. We've got our friend Kate Bradley. She's competing, and she's retrained two of our horses that came off the track, Red Board King and Corey Bant, turned one into a barrel racer and one into a show jumper, and wishing her luck and everybody involved. So we'll be watching, and we'll see who America's most wanted thoroughbred will be come Sunday.
Yes, thank you very much. We can't wait to announce it.
Jen Reutz, and you can follow Jen. You can follow the project online, of course, on whether the website or following it at their
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever you are, we're there too.
Exactly. And if you put in RRP, that'll get you invariably, if you're just doing a general search, Retired Racehorse Project, and their Twitter address, RRP_TB Makeover. But if you just put in makeover or RRP, you'll find it. And TBMakeover.org, the website. Jen, best of luck to everybody.
Thank you, sir.
Not at all. Jen Reutz, everybody. And Jen also, you can follow at Jen Reutz, R-O-Y-T-Z. And the horse park, the place to be. And they've been a wonderful partner for the makeover these last couple of years. We'll take a timeout here. We did find Andrew Hawkins. I don't know if he's already in North America or if he's en route, but we got to get in a final visit with him as a member of the Hong Kong Jockey Club before we move on to a new representative next week. And we got Tony Black coming, too. We'll get to both. Steve Haskin as well, and Rich Eng, and Christina Blacker. Hour two at the races. Stay with us.
latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.